four,
three, two, one.
Welcome to Open Space Conversations. This radio program is brought to you by Global Mission Fellows,
a community dedicated to amplifying the voices and stories of diverse communities around the world.
We will be diving into important social justice issues of our time, exploring the ways that they intersect with beliefs, science, technology, and the environment.
Aiming to open spaces to have conversations about critical issues that are shaping our world today and working toward solutions to create a more equitable and just world for all.
From climate change, education, gender justice, health, and food security, in this space, you're welcome. In this conversation, your voice is heard.
Tune in to our special episodes Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and through podcast version of CIPOC and Encuentro Radio.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, world. We are back on Open Space Conversation, and I am Blessing, here with my friend from all over the world. If you are not a new listener, you are probably wondering why you are hearing a different voice. I'm Blessing, Global Mission Fellow from 2023-2025 cohort, and starting today, we are officially taking over from the previous GMF cohort. With me at this moment, are four of my good friends and fellow GMF. And now, I'm inviting them to tell us a little something about themselves, their name, home country, and POA. And we'll start by Eliezer. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Eliza. You might recognize my voice and face from the previous cohort. But I am from the United States and served in Barbados. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eliza. So we let Francisca to present herself for us.
Hello, everyone. I'm Francisca George from Tanzania, and I'm currently serving in Monrovia, Liberia, at the Program Coordinator of Women Entrepreneurs and Environmental Link. I'm so happy to be with you today.
Thank you so much, Francisca. So we let the space to Rose to present herself for us. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rose Raphael Msagati, and I'm from Tanzania, and I'm currently serving in Naivasha, Kenya, as a youth mentor. I'm dealing with youth, and I'm so happy to be here again. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rose. We let the space to Yaren Fersen to present herself for us. Thank you. Yaren Fersen, you have the floor.
Hi, how are you guys? My name is Jefferson Koyo. I'm from cohort 2023 to 2025. I'm serving in Argentina. I'm from Colombia, and I'm working with indigenous people, serving with women, youth people, and serving all about the agroecological projects here in Argentina. And I'm so glad to be with all of you, and this is my first time, so I'm a little excited. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jefferson. We are so glad to see you here to be with us this day. It's so good. So, to disclaimer, today we will talk about raising awareness on suicide and its impact, and we would like to emphasize raising awareness on how we can help in advocating against this issue. But before that, I will have a quick disclaimer. The view and the opinion of the host and the guest do not reflect the views of and opinion of any organization, especially the Global Ministry or Global Mission Fellow. Also, we are not professional in this topic, but for this episode, we'll share based on our research and personal experience. Also, this topic is complex and might trigger some people. So please also be aware of that. If you are uncomfortable or having a hard time, feel free to disconnect. On the other hand, we'll also like to hear from you. So share your story, comment, question, or whatever you want to say to the group. You can participate by sending a message or question to the panelists or by leaving a comment on Facebook Live, which can be found by searching Open Space Conversation TMF 2022-2024. Again, that is Open Space Conversation DMF 2023-2025, or you can privately message someone on the panel today. Just remember, this is the space for everyone to feel heard and included, so be mindful for your words. So, like I have said, our topic today is raising awareness on suicide. So, I will let the first person to talk to us, Eliza, who will help us to understand that topic by warning sign and risk factor. How can we identify potential suicide victim? She will let us to know what is this. So I let the floor to Eliza to explain for her to know more real well about suicide. Thank you. You have the floor.
Thank you, Blessing. I do want to emphasize again a trigger warning that the following discussion may involve sensitive content related to suicide. So just to leave that open space for that. In the past 4 weeks, did you feel so sad that nothing could cheer you up? In the past 4 weeks, how often did you feel no hope for the future? In the past 4 weeks, how often did you feel intense shame or guilt? In the past 4 weeks, how often did you feel worthless? Have you ever tried to kill yourself? These are just a few examples of questions that one might find on a suicide risk screener. It's not easy to honestly answer these questions, but it's also not easy to see a loved one pass away. According to the World Health Organization, suicide is one of the leading causes of death worldwide. More people die as a result of suicide than HIV, malaria, breast cancer, war, or homicide. So that leads us to what exactly is suicide. According to CDC, suicide is death caused by injuring oneself with the intent to die. A suicide attempt is when someone harms themselves with any intent to end their life, but they do not die as a result of their actions. So while the results show that more people die from suicide, it doesn't even account for the many people that attempt suicide or purposely choose to harm themselves. Something to note is that self-harm with intent to die could be done through physical methods, drug overdose, or even poisoning. But backing it up a little bit, to understand the prevalence of suicide, I think it's important to understand the numbers. Over 48,000 people died by suicide in 2021, and that translates to one death in every 11 minutes. And that's based on CDC stats for America alone. 12.3 million Americans thought about suicide, 3.5 million made a plan, and 1.7 million attempted suicide. In 2019, America doesn't even have the highest suicide rate. In our world data, it shows that Guyana has the highest rate of suicide with 40.9 deaths per 100,000 people. And it's interesting because a lot of these deaths are from elderly ages of 85 and above. And with a rate of 25.9 deaths per 100,000 people, Suriname follows Guyana, which is followed by the Micronesian Islands, then Russia, and then a few countries in South Africa. To put it into perspective, there are a few more countries with suicide rates much higher than the one in America. And something to also note that these rates don't even account for all, because suicide deaths are underreported in many countries, which could be due to social stigma, cultural, or even legal concerns. And so this is why talking about suicide and raising awareness is important. I'll be starting this discussion by talking about the warning signs and risk factors. But before I continue, I do want to preface this with everyone, it's different. And we show signs differently. So please use this as a guide or a way to open our eyes to be more aware of the people around us. But it's not a set in stone or one person fits all type of situation. So just keep that in mind as I continue. I'll start with the warning signs. Oftentimes, you may notice a change in a behavior, which is usually related to a painful event, loss, or change. So if you know someone who experienced change recently, it might be a good time to check in on them and just be more observant to their behaviors. But remember, grief is normal and change may happen. So don't overthink, but also pay attention. And some things to pay attention to specifically is, one, what are they talking about? Do they talk about killing themselves? Do they talk about feeling hopeless? Do they talk about having no reason to live or being a burden or feeling trapped? The next thing you can pay attention to is their behavior. Are they increasing the use of alcohol or drugs? Are they actively looking for a way to end their lives? An example would probably be Googling. Are they searching ways to die on Google? Are they withdrawing from activities that they normally love and bring joy to them? Or are they isolating? And I know personally that's something I do unconsciously. So just checking in on them when it feels like they're staying away from you. Just check on them. Are they sleeping too much or too little? Are they taking dangerous risks that they normally wouldn't take? Do they have extreme mood swings? And speaking of mood, that's another thing to pay attention to. Are they showing signs of depression, anxiety, loss of interest? Are they irritable? Are they full of rage or shame? Or are they just extremely sad? So these are all different things that you can pay attention to and use as warning signs. But as for risk factors, I've named one with recent change of circumstances. But truth is, suicide ideation can happen to anyone regardless of experiencing change. While everyone and anyone is at risk of suicide, there are risk factors where certain demographic groups are at a higher risk of suicide. Across the world, males tend to have a higher rate of suicide than females. Some groups of people also experience more negative conditions or factors that are associated with suicide, like racism or discrimination. They all play a role. It is found that suicide rates are also high amongst those vulnerable groups who experience discrimination, which include the refugees and migrants, indigenous people, the LGBTQ+ community, and even prisoners. There is also a link between suicide and mental disorders, particularly depression and alcohol abuse. However, it is a myth that all people who are at risk of suicide have depression or another mental illness. But the strongest risk factor for suicide is a previous suicide attempt. So if you know someone who tried to kill themselves before, they're at risk, and it's possible that they will do it again. And this also overlaps with those who self-harm, and this is just why it's so important to pay attention to their behaviors and just continuing to look and check in on them. So I understand this could be a very heavy and difficult topic, but that's exactly what makes it so important to discuss. Because unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, it is likely you know someone who is or has at least thought of suicide at one point in their life. One of the prevention tactics that I'm sure others will expand on later is actually talking about suicide. So when we are aware of what it is and what we can do about it, we are more likely to prevent it from happening. asking someone if they are suicidal does not plant the idea in their head, but it instead helps. It can also encourage them to talk to a professional. And that is exactly my hope, and I'm sure the hope of the others here today as we discuss the prevention of suicide today. With that said, I'll let them continue the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eliezer, for the explanation. We will be supposed to know about the suicide, how can we recognize the suicide, and how can we help the older. Thank you so much to give some explanation about that. Thank you. For now, we have a small break with a song, Neil Roman. After that, we'll come back and the second person will talk for us about reducing stigma. So, see you.
You feel your love's been taken when you know there's something missing in the dark. We're barely hanging on. And you rest your head upon my chest, and you feel like there's nothing left. I'm afraid that what we have is gone. Then I think of this star, and it echoes a spark, and I remember the magic electricity. Then I look in my heart, there's a light in the dark, still a flicker of hope that you first gave to me, that I wanna keep. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. Hear the patterns of your breathing, and I tell you things you've never heard before. Asking questions to the ceiling, never knowing what you're thinking. I'm afraid that what we had is gone. Then I think of the star, and it echoes a spark, and I remember the magic electricity. Then I look in my heart, there's a light in the dark, still a flicker of hope that you first gave to me. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. And I want this to pass. And I
Thank you for the break time. We are back And we take this opportunity to thank for those who are looking on us in Facebook, Honest from Taraba State, Daligo in Nigeria, Kenny William, say hello, watching from Hong Kong, Mami Sambo, listening from Altonta, Michael from Colombia, Trivia from Togo, and Ananias from Togo. Thank you so much. And we'll continue with the second part, and we let the floor to Francisca, who will help us to know more about reducing stigma, what are the common misconceptions and stigma surrounding mental health and suicide. So we let that opportunity to Francisca to talk to us. Francisca, you have the floor. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Francisca, and I will continue sharing about reducing stigma and also what are the common misconceptions and stigma surrounding the mental health and suicide. So this, the one I'm sharing, these are the most people experience here in Africa and where I'm coming from. So I would love to share with you. So most people have the misconception of mental illness, like suicide thoughts, depression, and anxiety as a person is a psycho or psychiatric person. So, like, when it's hard for a person to even go to a hospital to seek for help, because when you just talk like you are going to a psycho unit, to a psychiatric unit for just counseling, people are starting pointing at you. Like she's a psycho. So you see, stigma also in health institution, it happens there. But also people also believe that there is no such thing as mental health. And that's a big problem. People say, especially men, people say men are raised to be strong. Men are raised to solve problems on themselves. That's why you can even see the number of suicides is more in men, because it's very hard for them to share their feelings. It's very hard for them to share their dark thoughts because they are raised that way. Since they are crying, you're a man. Why are you doing this? You can solve this problem. And sometimes they even say, no, you are a coward. So if you see someone is attempting suicide, people starting to point at them, she is very weak. And that's also the misconceptions towards mental illness. And that's not nice. But also there are some people or tribes believe that suicide is superstition thing. Like if there is no way for a person to commit suicide. There is no way for a person to harm themselves just because of stress, just because of depression, just because of situations. People failing to understand this is a series, is a psychological pain that a person is going through, and we receive things different. The things that are happening in the societies, in social, cultural, or political, even the capitalist itself, it's every event that is happening, it happened to person different, and people feel different, and people receive this event different. But people think, it can't be true for a person to commit suicide. It's impossible. That person is bewitched. Instead of looking for help, they are just keeping on saying it's a superstition thing. But also, people think that people try to commit suicide or try to harm themselves, they seek for attention. Or they want to benefit from the social care service, which is very wrong. And this makes people feel alone, because you can be going through a lot, of pain, and no one will be there to listen for you. It's very hard for even a person to share their thoughts, because everyone thinks that, oh, this person is seeking attention. You are just seeking, or you want to benefit from the social services. which is very wrong. And another thing is that this is very, very bad, because it's like what we are having now, an open conversation, open communication, an open space conversation. People feel like talking about suicide is leading to suicide, making people commit suicide, like motivating people to do it. No, this is wrong. Talking about suicide, it helps people who are going through a lot to feel like this is normal to talk about it. It's normal for me to share about it. You see, it makes even easier for people to seek for help, and it even raises awareness to the families, to the communities, to the national level and international level, that we can communicate through these things, through media, in the hospitals, in families, with our friends, with people we are feeling safe to talk to. But people think that talking about this thing can lead to suicide. And yeah, so those are some that I can share. And also, I would love to share how we can reduce stigma in all over the world. How can we reduce stigma? How can we reduce this stigma that are happening? People pointing at each other, thinking that person is weak, thinking that he's prostitution, thinking that committing suicide, there is no such thing as a mental health. How can we reduce these things? So the first thing is public awareness and education. It's very important to have public awareness and education about suicide and mental illness in general. So it's very important for national and international level workplaces to have the campaign about mental health, to talk about it, because this is the leading factor, among the leading factor of death in all over the world. But it is not being talked so much. The awareness is too small. Like even the deaths that have been recorded, there are some parties that have no idea about these things, that is the mental health. There are some parties that are not easy to reach. They have no idea about anything that is mental health issues. They think when a person is going through mental health, it is and it's hard for people to even come. They feel ashamed. So when we raise awareness about these issues, it becomes very, very easy. But also to encourage an open space conversation, just like this, through the media, we can also, people who have gone or people who have survived from the mental illness, they can also be used when they feel safe to share about it. They can be used to also talk about it, because they know what they have been through. They know about the situation. So when people like this help in raising awareness and help in open space conversation, it's easier to other people to understand about the situation and to provide the proper solutions, such as seeking for professional help and other solutions. But also to involve the community, because especially the cultural and religious leaders, it's very important to pray about our mental health, very important to pray about it, but it's also very important to seek for a professional help, a professional support. So these are leaders, because there are some also cultural and social rules and practices that trigger suicide to people, and that trigger the mental health to people. And the way we react towards these issues in a stigma, like the way we point at people, the way we discuss at people, like, why would you choose to commit suicide? You had a better choice. You are too selfish. Why would you do that? Instead of pointing at them, we need to come up with an open space conversation where we feel safe to talk about it and to share about it and to understand this is not about a choice. Suicide is not a choice. Mental illness is not a choice. If someone's going through a lot of psychological pain, And when we are pointing of them, we make them feel like there is no hope. No one is there for them. No one is listening. And there is no solution to the problems. But when we talk about it, it is easier for people to come out and speak and share about it. But also, it's very important to have the workshops about mental health in a workplace, schools, and also in online services, education in workplace. It's very important to talk about it. These workshops, they will help to raise awareness about mental illness. But also, the last one I would love to share is mental health policies. It's very important to communicate about mental health policies and share it and make it known to everyone. Okay, I would end here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Francisca, for your explanation. Yeah, we learn a lot. It's very important to talk about suicide. It's very important to help people. So we learn a lot from your explanation. Thank you so much. To continue to go to the third part, we need to have a small break. If a song, we say, stand by you, Rachel Planet. Yeah, see you soon, please. Thank you.
Hey, if your wings are broken, please take mine so yours can open too. Cause I'm gonna stand by you.
We are back again for the third part for our conversation. And now we will let the space for Rose, who will help us to know how can we support the loved one? How can we do to help them? If they are in the same, if they are in the situation like that, how can you help them? So we'll let the space, the floor to Rose, who will help us to know more. How can we do? Yeah, Rose, you have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Blessing, and thank you so much, Francisca and Alisa, for that thoughtful and insightful opinions. So now we're going to see how can we really help our loved ones, people around us who are suffering or going through mental health, which results to these suicidal thoughts and even suicide attempts. So number one that we all need to know is to learn about mental health. Mental health is not an education that only, you know, counselors or specific people just need to know. I believe education about mental health need to be available to everyone. Because we are the ones staying with our relatives. We are the ones staying with our kids. We are the ones staying with our spouse. So we really need to understand more about mental health so we can be able to identify the signs when we just see them. If we say education of mental health is only supposed to be at hospital or with specific people, we are going to be so wrong. That's why sometimes we come to identify and we come across our loved ones who are at the late stage, or we can say, we have been seeing signs, but because we don't know anything about mental health, we feel like maybe it's just normal. It's just a way of having stress or something. So I think having education of mental health, everyone's supposed to know, how can I identify if someone has mental health? So that when we come across these kind of people, or even among our families in our homes, we can be able to identify when it's just at the early stage and take precautions. So that's where we can be able to help when it's early. Then the second thing that I can say is avoid stigmatizing mental health. Mental health conditions are not different from other health conditions. Your loved one didn't apply to have mental health or did not just decide that I need now to be facing mental health. So when you are trying to help them, don't be judgmental. Don't try to challenge them that you brought this upon yourself. Instead, encourage them to talk openly, encourage them to be open about what they feel and how they feel, or if there's anything that triggers them to feel suicidal anytime that thing happened. We have some people who maybe sometimes when they're being bullied, that's their triggering thing that brings suicidal thoughts. Other people, when they just feel like unloved, they just feel no one cares for them, that's their trigger for having suicidal thoughts. So we need also not to be, to let them feel as if it's something that they have brought upon themselves, but we have to be more understanding. The other thing that we can do is to listen and learn. We are not supposed to rely only on the information we got on social media, on the radio, on the books. Sometimes other things we just see them by, we analyze or we understand them by just seeing. So be able and be willing to analyze the behavior of your loved ones, your relative, your spouse, your kids. Maybe your child was very outspoken, was playing all over, but just in a sudden is being blocking him or herself inside, not associating with people, not talking. So these are the things that you don't need to read somewhere. You just need to analyze and feel like something is wrong. But also now when you're about to approach and ask, be more willing to listen more than speaking. When they're opening up to you, give them your listening ear. Let them explain everything. Let them be able to feel like at least they have someone whom I can explain. Even if for you maybe might sound like, this is not something for you to be upset. Yes, might not be on your side, but you don't know how much impact this has brought to the other person. Then the other thing we can do to assist our loved ones is offer meaningful support. When I say offer meaningful support, I mean sometimes we are living with friends. You might find your friend is working maybe 12 hours a day, then still has to come home, cook for the kids, do the washing, do this. You know, that feeling of being overwhelmed sometimes becomes too much. You feel like, I can't handle this. No one is there to help me. So you are there sometimes. Try to offer meaningful support. Try to make that burden on their shoulder a little bit easier, a little bit manageable. Do some one or two things. If you're free, you can help them to do the shopping. If you're free, you can help them to do the washing. Don't just sit and be just observing. Sometimes we have people who doesn't speak, but they feel when they keep on keeping all the burden within them, then they come to react in a way that they feel like the only plan B that I have right now to make my life easier is to end my life. But we can help. Sometimes things which are bringing these suicidal thoughts or mental health issues are very little things that we take them for granted, but we don't know how impactful that they are within us. So the other thing that we can do is assist your loved one in seeking help. Because we have to... Maybe when it's become now intense, you feel like it has got to a point of no return. This really need an urgent help. But otherwise, try to advise them in a polite way and slowly. Do not push them into getting help. Give them control. Let them understand and let them see the importance of agreeing willingly to get that help. Because if you push the person to go for counseling and therapies, if that thing is not coming from the heart, trust you, me, it won't help. They'll just be there sitting just to make you happy, but within them, they are not yet willing to let it out. So when you're trying to give them help, to let them know that there's someone who can help you, give them control also on making decision and let them feel that, yes, at this point in time, I feel like I need help. So the other thing that we can do, take symptoms seriously. Mental health issues can color the way you see the world. You might be, if you're not suffering from mental health, the way you see the world is different from the someone who is going through that state. They see the world differently. So no amount of arguing can change their mind, can change their perception. So when you're trying to help them, also learn about the symptoms. If your friend feels suicide or angry or anxious, don't tell him or her that life is not that bad. You know, we have these people who will be like, you're there trying to explain things to them, and the only thing they'll tell you are the one complicating life. Life is not that hard. You are the one bringing things on yourself. So don't try to make them feel like it's the burden that they brought upon themselves, because they see the world differently. The thing that it come across, they take it personal and see the world a different way on the other angle, on the other world compared to yours. So be very gentle and be very mindful. When you see, I call them triggering signs. When you see those signs, don't try to keep on pushing them. Someone might come and tell you, you know, I feel like I need to resign from my job. I'm not happy. I'm not enjoying what I'm doing. My boss is so 1, 2, 3, 4. Instead of you listening and be able to analyze the problem, before that you'll be like, you know what? Even me, I'm having problem at my office. As long as you're getting money, please stay there. Even if they do this or that, you're not helping. Because maybe the problem you have at work is a problem that is manageable. But if you just not listen and try to push on the other person to just keep on taking, sometimes we're not helping. So let's take symptoms or triggering points seriously. And the other thing that we can do is to offer unconditional love. People with mental health conditions frequently worry that they're unloved. So please, be kind to your neighbor, be kind to your family member, be kind to your spouse, be kind to the relations that you have, be kind to your kids. Nowadays, we have parents who are not spending time with their kids. They come from work, they're busy on their laptop, they're busy on their phones. What time do you have to listen to issues that your kids have? We have spouse who doesn't even sit and talk. When they meet, even if they go out for lunch, everyone is busy on their phone. We have things that are happening that people are not willing to speak because they feel like, maybe this person won't listen to me. When I talk to my mom, she's always busy. When I talk to my father, he's always busy. So please, show love, show care, show attention. Love has a certain and special way of taking stress out, of taking so many things. The moment you just feel like there's someone who sees you for who you are, There's someone who appreciates you. There's someone who just cherishes what is in you. It changed so many things. So let's be kind to one another. And lastly, I can say, build up strength. No matter how much loved one is, no matter how much hard or how much someone is struggling, everyone has something to offer. Whether you feel like they are less privileged, whether you feel like you are higher than someone, but everyone has something to offer. So help your friend or family member celebrate small victories, small achievements. It's your daughter. She just decided today to come back from school and wash dishes or do something. You never say anything. Just say something to make that person feel like, wow, so I did something great. Just acknowledge. Just say, oh, you did well. Even if you didn't do something or everything that was supposed to do, it's always supposed to be. See how to correct. Like, okay, you did well, but next time when you do this and do that. That person will feel appreciated, but also you correct the person in a way that they won't feel like, I think next time I don't want to do it anymore. But know that, or not only that, you have your spouse. Maybe it doesn't feel like going to work. You don't have to come. You are very lazy. You don't want to do this and that. Be gentle. You see, I know that sometimes it's so tiresome. Maybe you don't feel like going to work, but just know that I acknowledge all your efforts. I am so proud of the way you push through in everything, the way you carry things. All these things. You know, sometimes we live in the world where people feel like if I acknowledge someone or if I praise or if I say something, this person will feel like they are on top of the world. That's not true. Everyone needs to hear something. So let's be kind, especially in these family relationships with our kids, with our spouse, with our husbands, with our wives, because there, in these places, it's where everything starts when we start to neglect one another. So be kind, show love, take these triggering things into consideration, and make sure that you know anything, you know just some things about mental health, so that when they happen, when you notice them, sometimes you don't just say, ah, that's how she is, she's always moody. No, take your time, sit down and ask, what is going on? What is happening? Is there anything that you can talk to me? Is there any way that I can help? No matter what you're going through, maybe you don't want to speak to me right now, but just know that I will always be here for you. Just know that I will always be here to listen. I will always be here to support you. So even if that person has not yet opened up to you, slowly you keep on opening up the doors and showing that he or she is important. He or she is needed. He or she has still, there's still someone who trusts in this little thing that they're doing. And I think that will also help. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Rose, for your explanation. We have got a lot and we learn a lot the way we're supposed to take care of our loved one and to love them, to listen to them, and to know how to take care of them in that situation. Thank you so much. And we'll continue, the time is running us, so we'll continue to welcome Jefferson for the last part, who will help us to know the time you are taking for taking about someone like that. How can we take care of ourselves? How can we look at ourselves to support someone struggling in that situation? How can we do to take care of ourselves? So, to not lose time, we give this floor to yourself to explain for us. Thank you. Jefferson, you have the floor. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to talk about self-care and what to take care of yourself when you're supporting someone struggling suicidal thoughts. And what the first part is, be clear that as you're supporting people, it's important to set limits. Also, you want to be available to the person and all the time. You also need time for yourself. Make sure that you set clear boundaries and know when you need to step away to recharge and be present for this for this person that I can pass through about this suicidal thoughts. The other topic important is seek support for yourself. I mean, it's necessary to talk to someone that you trust about how you feel, whatever it is, a friend, family member, or the therapist. Sometimes you need to share your own emotions and burdens. I think this is a big important for when you're passing through this process. It's important to practice daily self-care. I mean, spend time doing activities that relax you and make you feel good, such as could be exercising, reading, listening to music, or maybe meditating. And also physical self-care affects your mental well-being. So this is important to keep in mind. Rely on professional help if necessary. If you feel overwhelmed, you can turn to a mental health professional. They can guide you on how to handle the situation in a healthy way. It's important when you're going to pass into about the supporting, disconnect from time to time. It means taking breaks from social media or other sources that offer stress. Can help you relieve pressure and keep your mind clear. I think that this is also important. And by the time, breathe and stay calm. It's important to practice breathing or meditation techniques to reduce stress. This will help you stay calm in difficult times. Yeah, this is important too. All these exercises can do, help you to be calm and understand it, and can you hear about all much better other person and help you to understand about the just give me a moment.
Thank you so much, Yosef, for your explanation.
I was around other people, and just for finish, the last topic that I want to talk is don't isolate yourself. It's important to keep your own support networks active, spending time with other people, even if you just need to disconnect, or it's essential to maintain emotional balance. Maybe writing someone or talk with someone, and don't isolation. This is a part of, it's important to, all these topics are important to support when you are supporting someone with a suicidal thought, and I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Yefeshi, for your explanation for the way we're supposed to take care of us in that situation. Maybe you are taking off for some person like that, the way we need to take care of us, to talk to someone else, to relax, to take time for ourselves also. Yeah, thank you so much for your explanation. So we'll have a small break with a song, Sasha Aleswana. Thank you.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on. I know when I need it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, all of you. We thank her now, who is looking for us on Facebook Alive. Thank you so much for all of you who are looking on us. Yeah, we don't have so much time to talk more, but I don't know that there are something the panelists want to say before 1 minute before we go, because this time is running as I don't know, they have something or some experience to say. Is there nothing? Maybe you had an experience or your friends, something you have saw that you can share with us if it's possible. Okay, so if there are nothing to say, I'm thanking all of you to be here with us today to share your opinion about SACID, and we are so grateful for that, to hear from you, to learn from you, and we know that it will help many people to know how to take care of the person like that, the person have the mental issue, how can take care of herself, and the person in that situation also. How can you recognize something like that? If you recognize, how can we show our love? How can we pray for that person? Because it's very important. Francisca has said something like that. We need to pray for that person. We need to show that person that we are here for him or for her, to support him, and all things will be well for him. So we are so grateful to have you in that flow today. Thank you for all the persons who are following us, the panelists, the listener. We thank Noelie from Facebook on Live. We are so grateful to have all of you. Thank you so much. Thank you for those who handle in radio to make sure that all things we're supposed to do this today. Be well. Thank you so much, and we hope that in the next time we'll look on you, we'll see you again to have more, to know more about the different topic who God will allow us to talk about. And so we need to stop on here and see you next time. Thank you so much. Thank you, Elisa. Thank you, Francisca. Thank you, Rose. Thank you, Jefferson, to be here with us. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Loving is hard. It don't always work. You just try your best not to get hurt. I used to be mad, but now I know. Sometimes it's better to let someone go. It just hadn't hit me yet. The older I get, I used to wonder why they could never be happy. I used to close my eyes and pray for a whole nother family where everything was fine. One that felt like mine. I swore I'd never be like them, but I was just a kid back then. The older I get, the more that I see. My parents aren't heroes, they're just like me. And loving is hard, it don't always work. You just try your best not to get hurt. I used to be mad, but now I know. Sometimes it's better to let someone go. It just hadn't hit me yet. The older I get. The older I get.